Welcome to Christianity Today Audio.
Today we're here with Colin Hansen, a CT editor-at-large. He's also a frequent contributor to Fox News. I'm your host, Stan Guthrie. Colin, there's going to be a lot of evangelical Christians who didn't vote for Obama, who are afraid of what his presidency might mean for the country, for pro-life issues and that kind of thing. And there's even some of us who are concerned that we've even heard talk of Armageddon or the end of the world. I mean, certainly some of it quite alarmist and probably without substantiation. But what do you say to such people who are really fearful after the results of this election?
Well, the first thing to point out is that when we read the Bible, when we look at how Jesus led his followers, how he led the disciples, and how the disciples themselves and also Paul led the early church, we see that they lived in a tremendously difficult political time. And it's not as though they were ignorant of political decisions. Jesus knew about what was going on and sometimes alluded to those issues of taxation, for example. Now, he had an incredible gift of being able to sort of bridge those issues into other things that he deemed more important, more near to the spiritual concerns of his followers and certainly his mission. We see even Paul as a citizen, as a Roman citizen, having a very clear idea of his rights and how that legal process would work out. I think of one of the most powerful passages dealing with politics in all of the Bible, Romans 13, maybe the most difficult for a lot of us to really obey. But we see Paul writing to this besieged church in Rome. We see him telling them that God has ordained the rulers over them for their good. It becomes even more powerful when you consider that the emperor at that time was Nero, the same Nero who would burn Rome in a sort of, you know, city improvement way, you know, wanted to build himself a new capital city and then blame it on the Christians and then burn them. I mean, burn them to light the city on crosses. Just incredible. You think about what Paul said, knowing that Nero was the ruler at that time. Of course, Paul did not know at the time, but we know full well that it was most likely Emperor Nero himself who had Paul killed a few years after he wrote that. Best thing I can do for myself, as well as anyone else to talk to at the time, is to go to God's Word, to read the way God spoke and the way God communicated through his leaders for that early church, and the way that timeless guidance applies to us today, even in our fearful times or in our joyous times. And I think we can safely say, for both people who are joyous as well as people who are despondent, that those same principles apply. Clearly, you can't put your faith in political leaders. That's not prescribed. And yet you must trust and have faith in the God who somehow in his sovereignty makes provision for our good by putting them in positions of authority over us.
And certainly we can think about Christians in other parts of the world who face all kinds of dictatorships and collapsing economies and those kind of things. I think sometimes we're quite insulated from how the rest of the world lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the best example we think of course, these days is China. And you can see how God builds and expands his church. He expands his kingdom without seeming concern for how exactly these elections are going to turn out and whether you live under communism or not. And I think the thing to be clear about, though, is it does make a difference. You know, we don't, at the same time that we have faith in God, we don't want our nation to be communist, the way China is. We don't ask necessarily for a certain type of persecution to come, but we do have to be very prepared if such things like that would happen. And no matter what is happening, we're called to have that same sort of faith because our God doesn't change. And our God is not limited by the things that happen in this world. I think one of the most tragic things, I think looking back over the last 8 years, of President Bush's administration have been very painful to watch in America, not so much because of what's happened politically, you know, exactly his decisions, but the way people have responded to it, the way people have put so much faith in government, either to fix everything, but especially, you know, as the root of all evil. I mean, you would think sometimes talking to some people that President Bush is evil incarnate. Mm-hmm. It is tremendously discouraging. And I think Christians can learn from that and see that so often the people who have that perspective have it because they don't have faith. They don't have hope in Jesus Christ. And for them, politics has become the end-all, be-all, the way to fix all of their problems. And the last thing Christians should allow to happen is to follow that model, which has been so clearly broken in the last 8 years in America.
But is it still okay for us to work for and push for the kind of government that we think is best?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the privilege of being in a democracy. I mean, what a shame if we were to squander that blessing from God and to not participate in ways that Paul never could have even imagined and never could have dreamed. And we even need to tweak his prescriptions sometimes to fit a democracy, because we do have a responsibility for our government, a government of the people, that his government, the governments that he knew at the time, the people did not have that sort of responsibility. And so I want to make very clear that what happened in this most recent election has very serious consequences. And for those people who, especially thinking about, say, the unborn, those people who grieve, who fight for the rights of the unborn, it's a very difficult election, very, very painful, and it may lead to some very difficult times ahead. And I think it's a call within that context of faith to fight even harder to protect the most vulnerable among us.
So for those of us who are suffering a post-election hangover, what's the first or second thing we ought to be doing in the coming days?
I think the first thing is prayer. We are, of course, told by Scripture to pray for our leaders, mm-hmm. that they would be responsive to God, that they would be respectful of God's standards of justice and righteousness. I think truly we need to match that prayer with faith that God can truly do that. God can truly do that. The other thing you do is you just continue to get up. You continue to go to work. You continue to go to school. You continue to do everything else. If you're so inclined, you know, you start to look at what the prospects might be for 2 years and 4 years down the road. But at the same time, you're called to pray for our leaders, to be a good example to your neighbors in that regard, and to really seek God with faith that he can do what you can't imagine.
Right, and God has called us to certain tasks as Christians, and that call does not change whoever's in office.
Yeah, absolutely. God's promises, God's commands, God's sovereignty and love endure forever.
Amen. Thank you, Colin.
Thanks, Dan.
To get 3 free trial issues of Christianity Today magazine, go to christianitytoday.com/CT.